Everyone talks about it now. They go, oh yeah, you know, the female barber. It's a great thing. I had a whole team of female barbers. Yeah. It was absolutely fantastic because guys would be like, oh my God, I'm going in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's all women. But the good thing was the service was great because of it. Their cutting was great.
Yeah.
All I had to do was teach them clipper work.
Yeah.
And they became that first fusion, like I was, I suppose. A big brand, for me, I'm not going to be as creative as I can be because they're corporate, they have a certain look, they want to give a certain image. That aside, I went, right, okay, well, for me, I can do whatever I want. I can, like, you know, push the boundaries of what I want to appear in those photo shoots.
Yeah.
And that's what I've done. I've always loved cutting hair, and I'm more settled. The way I run the business now is totally different. I work less hours. I can look on my list on any given day and go, oh, so-and-so's in today.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, everyone has that awkward customer. No, I don't. Not anymore.
Hi there, I'm Anson Laban, and you're watching the Noble Barber Podcast. We're here to cut through the crap of the industry and give the answers, or at least try and find the answers to the problems that all of us as business owners struggle with every day. Thanks very much for watching. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hi there. Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We are here today at Barber Connect, a sunny and beautiful Telford. Put that on the brochure. I'm here with Baldy yep. Barbers, and we're talking about 30 years of career, really, I guess. How are you, mate? Nice to see you.
I'm really good. It's lovely to be on this.
Thank you.
Because I keep watching.
Excellent.
So, it's been a long career.
I'm really interested, and obviously, you know, we've said we were both kind of 80s hairdressers, really. Which was a great period to be hairdressing.
Yep.
And then you moved barbering, and then, well, you opened up your store. And so rather than going through your apprenticeship years, which I'm sure we've covered somewhere, I'm really interested in your reasoning of opening up that barbershop when kind of barbers definitely were that distant cousin of hairdressing. It was
very backstreet back then. Yeah. You know, most barbershops are like, I suppose, old boys that went in, stuff like that. It was all traditional
clip
stuff.
Joints, yeah.
Yeah, it was stuff like that. So for me, it sort of happened by accident, to be fair. You know, if I'm truly honest about the whole thing, I was asked to go and run a shop. And I didn't know the area. I lived in Milton Keynes, the shop was in Aylesbury. I worked for another barbershop, and this guy went, I've split from them. Do you want to come and run one of the shops? Okay. And then I ended up taking over that shop in about a year of being there. So he'd had a fallout with the landlord, looked like there wasn't going to be anything for me off the back of it. So I literally renegotiated a new deal with the landlord of the building, which was handy because it was attached to a pub. So it was the front end of a pub. So the landlord was the landlord of the pub as well.
All right.
So, I literally went from there. He would only allow me to take it on because I was like 22, I think, something like that, with him as a business partner.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, right, okay. So I ran
the
shop.
Did that help or did that hinder?
So it helped at the time, but I was young. I was probably a little bit naive in certain aspects, especially of business. So he was older. And then what happened was I ran the shop. He dealt with the paperwork and everything else like that. After about 3 years, he decided that he was selling up the pub, moving away, would give me a lease. But he wanted X amount of £1,000 off the back of that.
Yeah.
And I think he expected, because I was young, I'd just roll over. But I didn't really come from a rollover background.
Right.
You know? So I just played it the same game, ended up with the shop, didn't cost me anything, and went from there, really.
Is this the same building you're in now?
No. So hence why I'm doing a bit on the business stage in a bit. Excellent. About evolution, you know, and where it takes you. But No, I was in that building for 7 years, I think.
Right.
Before a new brewery or landlord came in, rents were going up. I looked at moving to a bigger shop and expanding, and did it that way. But I think for me, the key start that I had was the fact that I was from a hairdressing background.
Yeah.
Because that enabled me to take hairdressers locally and convert them into barbers. And I still believe...
And that was still best part of, what, 20 years ago?
Yeah, easy. So that would have been in the early to mid-90s.
Wow.
So for me, I had... Like, everyone talks about it now. They go, oh, yeah, you know, the female barber. It's a great thing. I had a whole team of female barbers. Mm. So, you know, it was absolutely fantastic because guys would be like, oh, my God, I'm going in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's all women. But the good thing was the service was great because of it. Their cutting was great.
Yeah.
All I had to do was teach them clipper work.
Yeah.
And they became that first fusion, like I was, I suppose. You know, so we had something totally different to offer.
Yeah.
And I think that gave us a good foot in the door, if you like.
But even then, though, you were making that, because I think there was a very big spell during the kind of 80s and 90s where, you know, like you say, the old boy would go and get his short back and sides,
yeah.
And then everyone else went to Tony and Guy and the 2000s, maybe Rush and Headmasters,
yeah.
And they were getting fairly poor haircuts,
yeah.
For twice or three times the price of a barber.
Yeah.
But it did seem to take another decade or two before the barbering industry, it was kind of, as you did then, kind of, hang on a minute, let's take some hairdressers, let's do better quality barbering, and let's... Do you know what I mean? So you were... I've spoken to people who were at the beginning of that curve, maybe 2014. I opened mine in 2014, my first barbers.
Right, okay.
A lot opened around 2015.
Yeah.
And we felt like we were riding this brand new wave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which we weren't. We were just... It just got more noise.
Yeah.
At your point, 10, 15 years before that,
2000,
you were doing that. You'd seen that point.
Yeah.
So were you finding your customers were coming from that salon environment? Were you getting your gents from there?
This is where like for me, the evolution of the business was different. So where, like say in 2015, 2014, we had that big explosion of the industry, right? Became noticeable. For me, back in 2000, we evolved totally different again. So we went from being a barbershop that had like all female staff to taking a new shop, a bigger premises, and making it look like a salon.
Okay. Wow. All right. So this is in 2000.
This is in 2000. So we went completely white, chrome, black tiled floors, big long wall mirrors. And it was a totally different look to anyone had had. But I was like, that's what I want. I want clean-cut edges and everything like that. And that took us, again, another step. We then went and decided that...
So this was a refit in the same building?
No, in a different building.
Okay,
so we went to a different building, went, okay, let's leave that behind. We've done that. Let's now go and do this.
And how did that fit in amongst the kind of areas, other hairdressers, other barbers? Because that sounds like you were suddenly a very different entity.
Yeah, we were a different look. So a lot of our clients followed us, but then a lot of clients we picked up because of it.
Yeah.
So, and it sort of became like a community. That was the launch of Baldies as such. Prior to that, we wasn't called Baldies.
Right.
So I created this whole new thing with, if you like, it was the start of our brand. So we were one of the first companies, I think, in the UK to use fudge, if you like, as a brand.
Right.
So nobody else had those sort of products. You know, we would use those products because we were coming from a hairdressing background, stuff like that. Although I'd been in barbering by that point, you know, sort of close to 10 years, I still had all that knowledge that I had.
Yeah.
So in the early 2000s, hair changed again. It became more textured, softer, longer. You know, the first lot of mullets were coming back in again. And because we all came from that hairdressing background, We were happy. We were chipping into hair. We were texturizing everything. You know, we were coloring. We were putting like blonde strips in and doing candy stripes and all sorts of weird stuff on men's hair.
So you were more than relevant in 2000, 2005. You were really leading it.
Yeah.
But, you know, 2000, 2005 is a decade ago.
Yeah.
Baldies doesn't look like that anymore.
No.
It's changed again.
Again.
And just to start bringing us up to that, I don't want to go quite up to date yet.
Yeah.
But the move now almost back to more reminiscent of a barbershop. Is that because you've got more confidence in the industry that you don't need to be hairdressing as well?
Yeah, I suppose a little bit. I had like certain friends that were going a certain way and I was like, oh, I quite like that idea. So we felt that we wanted to change again. We had to move because of rents, move to a slightly smaller, cheaper shop, cut my cost by 50%. But that then, I was like, right, I'm in a different building. What can this building do? So we changed the whole look again. We went.
I mean, it looks great. I love what you. I love that work.
With the skateboards, we've got like BMXs on the ceiling. Yeah. But then downstairs, we have the rum room, which is like a gentleman's club. So it's leather sofas and a bar. You know, it's cowhide rugs. It's totally different. But unless we'd moved, I wouldn't have been able to go, oh, let's try
I'm going to rip out all my expensive fittings and
you know, and change it all over again.
And the gang, any of them the same? Are you still very female-led, is it?
No. So we, in the 2000s, what, weirdly, and probably slightly consciously, we started getting an influx of men anyway that were more interested, slightly.
Right.
And we ended up starting to train our own.
Oh, wow.
If you like.
Yeah.
So we took young guys, trained them up, and created a whole new team.
In an apprentice style, old school.
Yeah, we did it old school. So we didn't pay our apprentices. We literally went, right, okay, you can come in for free. I'll teach you. And then off the back of that, the quicker you want to learn, because barbering is different to hairdressing. Mm. You know, I did like 3 years and then 2 years as an improver and all that. Barbering, you can get someone on your shop floor in 6 months.
Yeah.
If they're the right person.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And if you're applying the right support and mentoring.
Yeah, exactly that. So for us, it was like, right, we can get you on there within 6 months. As soon as you hit the shop floor, you can start earning. And so it worked, the fact that they had the right mental attitude. They didn't want to just stand there looking out the window.
Yeah.
They wanted to get on and train quick. So we trained a whole new team of all men. So then by the time we moved to our third premises, if you like, we had a whole team of men.
Wow.
So we were something different
again.
Are
you still training that way?
No. So we now do it in conjunction with colleges and the apprentice scheme. So we pay all our apprentices and stuff like that.
Yeah. Was that a conscious decision to make that? Or is it just really it's just impossible to do it the way you were now?
Yeah, I think it is impossible, really. It is harder. But I suppose for us, I wanted everyone to have that qualification. Mm. I think going forward as an industry, you know, we want to be to a point where everyone has a qualification of some sort, you know, and there isn't that.
And you can, you know, it can be done as a work, you know, you don't necessarily, I don't think you're getting rid of the ones that haven't done a formal training.
Yeah.
We can back certificate on the fact that you've been working for 2 years.
Completely.
So I completely agree. So, right, now we're up to date.
Yeah.
Quickly. Sorry, mate. I'm not wishing to rush through your career much. But I am really interested in what's happening to Baldy now.
Now.
You know, I mean, certainly for me, I've obviously been aware of what you guys are up to.
Yeah.
And when we started doing the podcast, your name appeared. So I've been kind of watching. And it seems to me, certainly couple of years ago, you refined and reinvented and did it again. And you seem, again, I mean this in the right way, you seem hugely relevant now.
That's very nice of you to say that.
Do you know what I mean? I don't mean that, but you know, 32 years in the industry, It's on fire. I love it. You know, it's really beautiful.
You know what I did find hard was, like, I probably got to a point maybe 2019. 2019 was, like, such a busy year for me. I was traveling all over the world, doing stuff for different brands. I think I did something like 9 different countries, some of them 3 times. I was going out to, like, India for a weekend and coming back. You get burnout.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Although the education that you're delivering on that side of things becomes easier because you're doing more and more and more of it, the burnout factor and trying to stay at the top gets harder. Mm. Because, you know, if you've got an audience that you're presenting to, they don't want to hear what they heard 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
They want something new from you. So it's hard to sort of get to that point. But I sort of had a little bit of burnout. So after, I suppose, COVID, I sort of had a reset, if you like. I had a divorce. I was living on my own. I was like, right, okay, I want to start getting back to being creative a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'd done a few collections before, and I was like, I touched on what my creative side was back then. But over the last couple of years, I've gone, right, what about if I work with someone else, right? I do a collaboration or whatever. And I wanted people that I like.
Yeah.
And share ideas. So that sort of inspires you as well as inspiring them. I like to try and think outside the box. Mm. So I don't offer the same thing every time. I don't want to do, and don't get me wrong, it's all right for some people, and it might be all right when you're first starting out. You know, what I don't want to do is go white shirt, white background, you know, a normal haircut, right? I don't think that does a lot. Well, it wouldn't do anything for me. So what I then want to do is go, right, okay, why can't we do, like, longer curly hair? Why can't I put feather boas on and fishnet gloves? You know, and do stuff like that. And I just really enjoy that side of things. So I've done less work with brands and more of my own stuff.
Yeah.
Doing what I want to do.
So do you think, if you look at them now, like I say, from the kind of outside, and we haven't met before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we only met last night for the first time.
Yeah.
But looking from the outside, was the difference that you kind of went, actually, this is me and my brand, not the influence of what the kind of bigger global companies that I've worked for in their direction.
Completely.
Are we looking now at the last 2 years being what Baldy actually is?
Yeah. So it's kind of weird, isn't it? Like, you listen to it in the music industry where, like, people are signed to a label.
Yeah.
And they have to work a certain way to a label. And I get that. So it works the same when you work for bigger brands. A big brand, for me, I'm not going to be as creative as I can be because they're corporate, they have a certain look, they want to give a certain image. So that aside, I went, right, okay, well, for me, I can do whatever I want. I can, like, you know, push the boundaries of what I want to appear in those photo shoots.
Yeah.
And that's what I've done. Wow. So it's
a freedom, if you
like.
Well, I mean, it really shows. And I think, like I say, for me, just from the outside, it absolutely steps off the page. And, you know, I think that 32 years of experience is paying out dividends because it looks, work you're doing is beautiful. It really is. And I'm not blowing smoke. I really mean it.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't have had a chat with you.
I'm
but there does seem to be that kind of real energy and enthusiasm.
Yeah. And we break it up in sections and send it out to various other magazines and stuff like that. But not only does, like, I get to do the work I want to do on it, but also it's like you say, it's elevated me a little bit more. I'm now, you know, I think I worked out, I was in about 7-8 different magazines over the last year.
Yeah.
Just with my collections. And that's just off of me. It's not, no one's supporting me. You know, I'm not doing it for the brands or anything like that. I'm just doing it for Baldy.
And are you finding the energy in yourself? I mean, obviously, yeah, we blitzed over 2020, 2021 as a business owner. You couldn't have chosen a shittier stick to pick up.
Yeah.
You know, tough times mentally, emotionally, you know, obviously to throw a divorce into that mix as well.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't have thrown many more stress factors into your life.
Yeah.
And you've kind of seemed to have come out of it with a real renewed vigour.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I'm quite a chilled out person. I'm one of those. I'm not like...
You don't internalise too much pain.
Yeah, I don't internalise a lot. So I'm a bit like, how much bearing is that going to have on me?
Yeah.
If it doesn't have that much direct bearing on me, it doesn't matter. You know, I can put that to one side. I can put it in a box. I'm all right with that. But I think I've found a new lease of life in the sense of more time for me.
Yeah.
As a person, my work life balance is different now. I went one of the best things I ever did, which I did in just as I was coming out of COVID, was when I did my bike test.
Oh, okay, right? Yeah.
I was like, rode bikes when I was young, never did my test, always wanted a bike, I had mates that rode and stuff, and I was always like, you know, told, no, we can't do that. All right, okay. Went and did it. That gives you freedom, and it opens up a whole new world, you know, so...
But weirdly, that seems to kind of be showing through.
Yeah.
It does seem like like you've thrown off the chains and it really does look like you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, really. Like, not that you didn't before, but
no.
It really does look like
I've always loved cutting
you're
hair.
Having fun with it
and happy with it. And I think that's the side. And I'm more settled. The business, the way I run the business now is totally different. I work less hours. I say I work less hours. My Wednesday is a 9 till 9 shift.
Wow.
But that's different, again, because it's the rum in the evening. That's members only. My client list is, I'm on a closed book now. I don't have new clients. I don't take new clients.
You know who's coming. They're all...
I know who's coming.
Great set of mates.
And it's become that side of things. You know, so I can look on my list on any given day and go, oh, so-and-so's in today.
Yeah.
Like we were talking earlier and people go, oh, you know, everyone has that awkward customer. No. I don't. Not anymore. Mm. You know, I'm past that stage now.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it's because I'm older and I'm a bit like, right, you know, I'm 56. Am I on my wind down a little bit? You know, I'm a bit like more carefree, if you like.
Yeah.
But it works.
Well, I guess, you know, there has to come a point where you've earned the right not to give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be a point where you kind of go, you know what?
Yep.
I'm right.
Yeah.
I might not be right for you. But for what's going on in me, mindset, emotionally, creatively, I'm right.
Yeah.
And that, it shows.
I mean, to the point, I have people go, oh, I can't get in with you. I'm like, no, you can't.
No.
That's my answer.
That's lovely.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
And I really don't care. I'm like...
But you seem to be, I mean, certainly your collections, you don't seem to be doing, it doesn't seem like a kind of vanity thing. You seem to be doing it with purpose. There is lots more editorial.
Yep.
There are competitions.
Yep.
There is imagery that it's appearing in the store.
Yeah.
You just seem to have a focus as to what you're doing with this, whereas there seems like there's a lot of imagery that appear, social media, and are gone.
Yeah.
And it's all time, work, hardship, and money.
Yeah.
You know, it costs.
Yeah, it definitely costs.
And so for the people out here that are trying...
Yeah.
What if they've made the decision to make or you make a decision to do a collection?
Yeah.
You know, yes, you've got to love it.
Yep.
But when you've got it, is that when you kind of decide, right, this is where we're going to go, or have you decided before you shoot it where they're going, what they're for? Have they got a direction?
Yeah. So I always have a direction. So the one thing I did learn was to do a mood board, right? So I go, right, what can I do? And I plan not just. I probably planned two ahead. So my last collection, which was the Boa collection that we did with Feather Boas, was a different look again. But already running up to that, one of my models, the one with the curly hair that I used for it, that I said, grow your hair, I want to do this. He's like, okay. So we planned it in advance. Same with the other two. I knew exactly what I wanted, what I was going to do. I wanted a contrast. But I've already planned... with Josh when he was growing his hair, carry on growing your hair.
Yeah.
So I already know my next collection, exactly what it is. It's already mapped out.
Yeah.
So it's only a case of booking it with my photographer, who's fantastic. But I know exactly what it's going to be already.
Yeah.
You know, and I've sort of looked at it, I've researched things, you know, and I go, right, okay, no one's done that. I'm doing that.
And is it you and a collaboration of people, or just your team? Have you got other barbers in your group that work with you on a collection?
This is you,
have a photographer and stylist and all that kind of stuff of what you're going to...
Even stylist, I do all of that. So it's like I start the whole process of, right, the hair, the theme and everything like that all comes from me on the day.
Amazing.
So I literally take control from start to finish. The only other times is when I do a collab, like I did one with Mercedes a little while ago, and that was the same sort of thing. It was like, okay, what we're going to do? We did it together, same process.
And who do you work with? Have you got the same photographer you work with?
Yeah, or? I use Liam Oakes all the time.
Yeah.
So Liam, I've known for a long time, and then I was like, right, what's it going to cost me to use you for a thing? I think my first initial one, which anyone starting off. He does like a day where he carves it up into hours.
Oh, right? Wow.
And you get X amount of top quality HD photos, ready, magazine ready, if you like, within that hour shoot. And he charges X amount for that hour. But it's a cheaper way to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if you've only got one model, you're going to get some great shots, be able to put that out there.
Yeah.
For me, that's how I first initially started a few years ago. And then I was like, Liam, do you know what? We just need a whole day.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, so we get 3-4 models in and do it that way.
Yeah.
And if you get someone else that you want to collab with, you're splitting the cost again.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
But you just got to find someone that it works with, if you like, the same sort of mindset.
Yeah. But you know, now I can see you're back doing some associations, some ambassadors, some link-ups. You're on the Andis stage here at Barber Connect.
Yeah.
How are you finding collaborating
back
again?
Brands.
You know, having had that breathing space.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to get back with the team.
Yeah.
Because I've been with Andis for like 10
years. A great bunch on the stage there this weekend.
And I've been with them for 10 years. It was part of my job to find most of them as a team coming through. So, you know, it's always nice to get together and work with them. You know, a great bunch of people. Brilliant barbers, you know, and it just works. It's nice.
Mate, it's been such a joy to finally meet you.
Yeah,
I feel
same.
Like I've stalked you a little bit, but in a positive way. And thanks for joining me.
Oh, honestly, it's an honour. It's lovely.
Really enjoyed meeting you. I'm really enjoying seeing what you're up to the rest of the weekend.
Yep.
And and the next, maybe not 30 years, but the next few events
Twilight
they're going to go
years
on
now,
with Baldy's Barber. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Brilliant.
Cheers, bud.
Lovely. Thank
well
you.
Done. Hi there. If you've got a story or know someone with a story or have a topic that you think we should cover that we haven't yet, please get in touch. We'd love to speak to you.